two, one. Hey, Garth Ekman, Mingle Mate Mary.
Hey, I'm Garth's sister, Sheree. I'm the older, wiser sister, maybe? Doubtful.
I'm the younger, dumber brother is basically what I think you're saying.
He said it, not me, people.
Yeah, well, you know what? I will receive that because there are too many stories you could tell about me otherwise, so I won't try to deny that.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah. I hope everybody is having a great week out there, a great month. We've had a lot going on in our own families lately. Easter's around the corner.
Yes.
Actually, by the time you hear this, you'll probably have...
Easter will be done.
Enjoyed Easter. So, what was your favorite holiday growing up with our family?
My favorite holiday was Valentine's Day because our mom made a big deal out of Valentine's Day supper. We would come home from school usually and then have special food. The table was set really cool. We'd get fun little Valentine's gifts.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not mine, though.
What was yours?
Oh, Christmas, all the way.
Well, I mean, yes, Christmas, but to me, Christmas is always so amazing that I feel like that's a no-brainer, so then I have to go to the next level.
Okay. Easter probably second, though, for me, because we always got great Easter baskets.
We did.
Remember the year we got sleeping bags?
I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, what better gift for a kid than sleeping bags?
I know. At Easter.
Yes. I mean, don't buy your kids sleeping bags, parents, if you're listening. No.
It was probably cool, though. I remember what mine looked like.
I do, too. Mine was a leopard kind of print. Was yours the kind of hippies pink and white?
Yes. You have a good memory.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for today, folks. Thank you very much. Wait, we got a lot to cover today.
We do.
A ton. I know you brought some of your resources. We want to talk through those. What do you think is probably most important and pertinent to people right now? Real quick, though, I do want to highlight what we talked on just as far as the idea of relationships, where the Wall Street Journal just reported that companies are firing 35-year-olds and under, and rehiring 55-year-olds and older,
right?
Because the 55-year-olds have a work ethic, are willing to put in extra time, work the weekends. But what that tells me, though, is if you deconstruct it, the 35 and under are also the ones who aren't getting married, again, because of that work ethic commitment. They don't want to commit. And I wonder how much of that is causing problems in relationships for those that are 35 and under. With, you get two people who want a 4-day weekend and want more money and 2 weeks off for Christmas and 14 weeks off when their girlfriend gets pregnant and they're the guy and all these crazy things. Do you see in your practice younger couples come in and deal with issues because of the immaturity and that might play out in like the job, but not plays out in their relationships?
A little bit. It can go either way. Some can really be benefited, and they have actually better relationships than maybe what we had when we were their age, because they are more in tune with balance and balancing work with time together as a family, time for their children, time for their marriage. But it can go the other way too, where they perhaps still have this expectation that they can live and have the kind of hobbies, time. So, for example, I have some younger couples where it's a real struggle because it's typically the husband is pretty much hooked into gaming and he wants to just spend all this time gaming. And it's hard because she's going, okay, but we're married and we have a toddler and we don't have all this free time, or her opinion, we shouldn't be choosing to use all our free time gaming.
Right.
So there's a little bit of that, oh, I want my time, don't fence me in. And then they get married and they start their family, and it can be a little bit of a struggle of, hey, you are married, you have a child, so need to change.
Do you find that just absurd? I mean, I hear about that, people gaming. There was a kid when I was teaching at North Central who dropped out of college because the new, I don't know, Call of Duty came out. This was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he just played it for 2 weeks straight and didn't go to class, didn't really do anything, and he failed and they kicked him out. I mean,
it's more prevalent than I think what we realize. There's some positive movement in the sense that now you know, gaming is online. They're talking to other players. They're actually building friendships as they're doing the gaming. So some of that can be good. It, to me, it's all about...
That's a stretch, I think.
It's balance. It's balance. Because, like, you have some people that are into gaming that never... They were so socially isolated. They had no life. All they did... But now, gaming online, being able to talk and converse and actually build some relationships, there's some value in that. But I think, it again, it's about balance. It's about... I could like shopping, and but if that's all I do... at the sacrifice of my marriage, at the sacrifice of my friendships or my relationships with others, that's not right. So to me, it's all about proportion and balance.
Right. Strange. I don't get it. I've been out of balance in my life with different things that have definitely affected my relationships and my marriage, but gaming has never been one of them. Anyway, yeah. I got us
that was
off
free.
On a rabbit.
That was a freebie. We didn't really plan to talk about all that, but yeah. Anyway.
So, looking at your, what do you want to,
let's jump into something positive. Let's talk about the benefits of marriage. Some of the benefits of marriage that we see that comes out of research.
Wow. Are there benefits to marriage? No, I'm kidding.
There are, you know how we end. I often say marriage is hard, but it's worth it. Well, the benefits, they tell the story.
Okay. Now, are these benefits that you will see immediately in marriage, or does it take time?
Usually takes time.
How much time?
Over the course of several years. Well, a lot of these benefits come to the surface as benefits because of that relational connection. And so some of these benefits you might have experienced even if you have good friendship relationships. A lot of these benefits come to the surface because you're connected to your spouse and it's a positive connection. Most of them, though, you're not going to see the full power of them unless it's over time. So
don't give up. Once you hear these,
don't give up.
Don't just give up. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So look at that. The first one, married people show that they have longer lifespan. And that's usually because they're in relationship with somebody. Somebody's coming alongside. Can be encouraging, comforting, can be the person that says you need to get to the doctor, can be the person that says, hey, vent to me, tell me what's bothering. You know, it's just that support on so many different levels. So it helps to increase their lifespan.
And if you deconstruct that, look at how many people who've been married for a long time, their spouse dies and it's not much longer after that. They also then succumb to death and die.
Right. Yeah. Another benefit, married people have less physical sickness and disease, and they show to recover quicker from disease as a married person. Again, because I think someone is kind of coming alongside you. You've got a husband or a wife that is saying, you need to go get that checked out. Or if they are struggling and suffering, they have somebody helping to care for them or bring comfort to them, or just mentally and emotionally help to share that burden. It's a huge health benefit, which you've experienced.
Yeah, I was going to say, in fact, I wouldn't have guessed those. What I thought when I read that was, because I'm married and have a family and grandkids, I want to stay alive. So there's a greater drive to not just only obey doctors, but just your mindset is survive, live, make it happen.
My family needs me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Married people have fewer emotional and mental health challenges because of the same thing. Isolation, at least in this country, if you are isolated without a lot of relationship or social connection, it is so devastating to your whole life, to your physical health, mental health, spiritual health. And so if you are married, especially if you are in a relatively healthy, good marriage, it has tremendous positive benefits on your mental health.
So looking at that, there are people who have a spouse that just no job, stay at home. Is it still just as healthy for them, though they go home to a spouse who's kind of a recluse or?
No, that does tend to offset the positive benefits. If your marriage is highly conflictual, if your spouse is not very connected to you or relational, that tends to do a lot of canceling the mental health benefits.
Right.
So these are... based on couples that would self-identify as having pretty positive marriages, pretty healthy okay. marriages in general. No perfect marriage, but
right.
Yeah.
Good point, because if you're in a very dysfunctional marriage, I don't know that you'd reap all of these benefits.
Right. Good. Yep, that's right. And so then married people tend to experience greater economic security and economic gain. Some of that is that kind of like obvious point of if you have two adults that are contributing to the economic, you know, if you have two,
dual income.
Yeah, dual income. Yep, that tends to help. But also, again, two people in relationship within marriage, you tend to talk about your financial mm-hmm. situation, and that tends to over time, help you make wiser financial decisions rather than being by yourself. And so that helps that. And it is still a big issue that if you find yourself suddenly single, especially if you have children, that there's still a huge economic division and gap for people who are single and trying to single parent.
Right.
It still can be a real challenge. So being married people tend to have more money.
Wait a sec. What's the biggest thing you've ever bought without your husband's permission and it was a mistake or caused some friction?
It sounds really stupid, but earlier in our marriage, when finances were super tight, I spent almost $200 on a swimming suit.
Ooh.
And
pictures will be added to the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But that caused some big tension, and I regretted it as soon as I did it. And then the opposite of that is just a few years ago, Mitch was busy and was not in the area as far as in the city where we buy our cars, and I desperately needed a new car. So I did all the research with a few days. I'm the one that dealt with the sales guy, and I bought my own car. Hmm. And so that was this wonderful success story, but it's the opposite of early in our marriage when I spent $200 on something I didn't really need and didn't check out with him. Yeah, that was not good.
Mm.
That was not Ooh. Good. Here's some other benefits. Married people tend to have more sex and greater frequency of sex. So
amen.
That's a good benefit. Again, this is with the understanding that the marriage is generally healthy and positive. Married people show a stronger bond and more overall positive relationships with their children. So that's a good benefit. And then the children of married people experience better outcomes and demonstrate greater emotional and mental health. And we unfortunately have a lot of couples that dissolve their marriages for whatever reason and have to get a divorce or end up getting a divorce. And it's hard. It's still hard, and it still can have some really big impacts on their kids. And I think that's one of the biggest pieces is that security. Again, if it's a relatively healthy, stable marriage, has tremendous security impact on the kids. Long-term kids then tend to show better outcomes.
Right.
And that, you know, that's something to think about. So
with that, in our household, I have a son going through a divorce. My grandkids have alluded to when are Kim and I going to get a divorce?
Ooh.
And to sit them down and say, no, we're not going to get a divorce. We agreed we'll never get a divorce. We might, murder is an option, but we would not get a divorce. So you kind of see that played out in your eyes firsthand. You understand how important it is. And also, I don't know if it was a Freudian slip, speaking of slip, but you said some couples have to get a divorce. Did you mean they have to get a divorce? Or what did you mean by that comment?
I'm glad you questioned me on that. So if there is abuse going on, if it's a destructive marriage, not just a difficult marriage, but it's a destructive marriage, then those are times where it probably is better for children that marriage be dissolved.
Okay, what do you mean by destructive marriage?
So if my husband is physically abusing me, that's destructive. If my husband just has some bad habits that irritate the crap out of me, that's difficult. And I advocate for working through difficult things, but sometimes a boundary has to be made if it's a destructive thing, something that's physically, emotionally, continuously hurting me. And there's so much. I mean, we could do 100 hours just on that topic, but for your children, it's really hard. It's really hard when a marriage dissolves. If there are really specific destructive things, then children typically feel greater peace when the marriage is done,
right?
Because they feel safer. But if it's just a difficult marriage, it can really have a negative impact on children still if their parents divorce.
So again, another rabbit trail, but we're not talking about destructive as in abusive physical abuse, but destructive behavior as in give me some insight or the listeners what that means.
So it could be that if my husband he wasn't necessarily physically abusive of me, but he was emotionally abusive where he was constantly emotionally manipulative or dishonest or unfaithful or, was in relationship with other women or was destructive in the sense of his communication to me was constantly putting me down, not having an attitude to ever be willing to do it differently or work on it or get help. And I'm talking over time. So everybody has a difficult week or a difficult right. season in their marriage where they don't really necessarily like their spouse. But destructive is when a person over time begins to feel their own sense of self eroding and you wake up and you start feeling like, I don't know who I am anymore.
Right.
And I'm so hurt and damaged by being in this relationship. And it's every situation is different because some situations they feel destructive to the person. And I'm tempted to say, I don't know that this is destructive. I think this is difficult. And I want you to at least give some effort to trying to work through this. So every situation has to be evaluated.
Good. So I think a qualifying statement here is that destructive doesn't mean you have to get a divorce.
Right.
It just means that you need to seek help and that you can change that destructive behavior and your marriage can be salvaged. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times people will listen to podcasts like this and they're looking for a reason to get a divorce.
Right, right.
Maybe they don't want to put in the hard work or whatever it is, or they think the destructive pattern or behavior is grounds for divorce when if they maybe have an opportunity to approach their spouse and say, I'd like us to work on this.
Right.
And then at that point, if they don't and or the destructive behavior gets worse, then you have to get a divorce.
Right. And right now, currently, I think two of the best resources for that. And one of the reasons to look into all this is for the sake of your children. But Leslie Vernick is a Christian therapist who is a specialist in destructive abusive relationships, and then Lisa Turquist, one of her latest books on boundaries, because they really help you differentiate between is this difficult or is this destructive, because it can be very nuanced, and it's a different story if two people in the marriage both are willing to say, let's get help and let's work on it, versus someone that just digs in and is like, no, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to get help. And that kind of attitude can be extremely destructive for children then, to be in that kind of right. environment.
So the line you used, is it destructive or is it dysfunctional?
Destructive or difficult.
Difficult, okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's a whole nother podcast, but very, very insightful. You almost need a mediator or a counselor to help you understand which one of that is it.
That's right.
So
that's right. Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, a generally positive, healthy marriage is really good for kids. And so that's one of the benefits of staying married, is because your children tend to have more stability, both economically, emotionally, spiritually, and then that then helps to launch them into having, a better sense of adulthood. So,
right.
Yeah. And then the last benefit that I dug through and found in the research was married people rate themselves as having a greater sense of just overall well-being. Because again, isolation, when we live as adults without a close connection to somebody, it's not good for us. So married people tend to say, you know what, in general, overall, I am happy and satisfied with my life and my overall well-being is good. And that's a lot to say because there's a lot of people that can't say that.
Mm.
So
here's an interesting thought. You look at the 8 benefits of marriage, and when you kind of spike this idea when we're talking about with how beneficial it is for kids, and then you look at the research as far as families out there, especially the African-American family, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but if you go to fatherhood.gov, you see there's such a high degree of a lack of father figures, thus meaning no mom and dad in that marriage. The 8 benefits almost deconstruct themselves in a sense for that typically single mom and then also the kids, because they ultimately...
Right.
They pay the price for all of these that aren't benefits in that home.
Right, right.
So, interesting.
Right. Now, I don't, you know, I'm kind of glass half full, so I don't want to be negative, or I don't want people to listen to this and feel completely discouraged because they are getting a divorce or they've gotten a divorce. No, there are always exceptions, always. It's so much has to do with your attitude and your determination to find the best healthy life, especially as a Christian. And that's overall the biggest determinant, is if you're determined to find the best healthy life, which is typically a growing out of your best healthy self.
Right.
So there can be kids that are raised by single parents that are, well, we see them all the time. They do fantastic. So again, for me, it's all about looking at the big picture and the balance and a person's own sense with God's help of self-determination. What's the life I want to live?
Hmm. So good. And that last one, married people rate themselves as having a greater sense of their overall well-being. I can't put my finger on the research, but there is stages to a person's life, obviously. And when they're married over 50, the life satisfaction in a person just almost skyrockets.
Yes.
It's like, and it has nothing to do with where they're at in their job or their finances or anything. And it comes back to how many ever years they put into working with their spouse in that relationship.
Yes.
And maybe there's a little bit of the mellowing as far as type A personality or sex drive or whatever that is. I don't know. But it makes you conscious to go, if we stick this out, it will get better.
And that is true for a lot of people. That is true. And I try not to... You know, as I meet with clients, I don't want to be dismissive of their current struggles because those struggles are real. The pain is real. But I also like to remind them of that very fact that people rate their marriage as being highly satisfactory and an overall sense of connection and well-being if they hang in there. And it's kind of coincides with kind of empty nester. You know, when you get to a certain point and you've launched your kids into their adult life, marriage... people that are married tend to then rate their marriage as the best it's been. So yeah, Garth, I think there's a lot to be said for just hanging in there and getting through it, working on it, knowing better days typically for most of us are coming.
So if we get rid of our kids, our marriage gets better.
That's right. That's right. Now, yeah. Yes. If you learn anything, just know if you get rid of your kids, your marriage is better.
Now, part of me is not joking when I say that, because I think of so many families right now. There are a couple of them in my life, in my gym, in my church, where it is the 25, 30-year-old boy who's still living at home, and you wonder again how much of this is robbing their parents from having these benefits because there's that child that's still at home that's a burden.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
And I don't know the answer, but you definitely step back and go, I mentioned it to you this morning. I think when our youngest finally moved out, there was this relief.
Yeah.
We missed him. We loved him. He's always welcome back. But there was this, wow, this was our job is complete in a sense.
Right.
And now we can enjoy each other. I was going to say, now I can walk around in my underwear, but I did either way.
Right.
When they were there. But very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we're coming up on 30 minutes.
Okay.
That's almost impossible.
30 minutes for 8 benefits.
Yeah. We'll come back with more of those. But one of the things we're talking about, again, off camera, we're talking about some of the things that you can pray about over your spouse. And I don't think there's any right or wrong, you know, what you can or can't pray about your spouse.
Sure.
I want to add one comment, and then I'll have you add your comments. The reason why that article jumped out to me, whoever wrote it, and I don't remember off the top of my head, it was incredibly insightful because the way it was written to the things that I should pray about me for our relationship.
Oh.
And not written in the things I should pray about my spouse and how she should change.
Right, right.
For our relationship to get better. And they didn't say that. You know, they didn't say, hey, you know, don't pray that your spouse gets better. I've heard some people say that. But the fact that it was written that way made me go, okay, that's pretty insightful, because we typically want to read an article like, what are the top 10 things I need to pray over my spouse? You know, she needs to be more sexually active and not so controlling and not as bitter and want to get a job. And, you know, and it's, again,
basically it's, oh God, change her.
Yeah. So that my life is better.
Right.
Which is a very selfish prayer. Again, going back to what Peter says, but if you were writing a prayer book on marriages from all of the people that you've counseled, what are the top three things you would say I would tell, and maybe they're different for men and women, I don't know. What would you say, okay, these are the things I would tell them to pray about in order to have a better understanding, insight, or healthy marriage? Kind of along those lines. What would you think you tell them to pray about?
I would say pray and ask God to help you see your spouse as God sees them.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes.
That's biggie. Secondly, I would say pray and ask God how you can love them the way they need to be loved.
Okay. That's Tupac.
Yeah.
Well, you said the first one was Biggie. So now we got Biggie. We got Tupac. Sorry. It's the 80s rap guy in me.
Dumb humor.
Yes.
Let's see. So those are two big ones. And maybe this is just because of what we've been talking about so far, but I think I would also recommend that they pray, God, what do I need to know about myself to make me a better spouse?
Self-aware.
Yep.
And would you say that in your counseling, that those are kind of pillars to where you start or what needs to be talked about when you're counseling people?
Absolutely, because there has to be a shift, because most of the time we go in for counseling and therapy because we are in pain and we want help. And so we come at it with, what can you do? How can you help my spouse change so that I am not hurting so much? And so there's a shift that has to happen of, okay, I can't control whether my spouse changes or not. So the shift of, okay, God, what do I need to be about to be the best spouse I can be? And then help me, how do I cope and have a healthy life, whether they change or not?
So it might be, you could almost say it in this sense, in this way, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when people come into counsel, they want to know how to either survive or change their spouse, and you try to help them understand self-reflection, what they can do.
Right.
Okay, got it.
But if they come in with their spouse, it's balancing all of that. It's let's for both of you, husband and wife, let's look at, what do you guys need to do? What's the work you need to do on yourself? As well as trying to get them truly hear and validate. So it's what we talked about before. I often will say, well, what's two things that you think your spouse would say they want you to change? You know, so I get the spouse to admit it for themselves. So it's that balance, because I don't want them to not feel like their pain is valid or their concerns are valid. They are valid. But I also want them to come to a place of realizing, I can't change my husband. And so how can I see him in a different light? How can I cope with the areas that may always be tense and hard for us that he's not going to change? And the same for him about me.
Good. Oh, that's good. All right. Well, hey, there's going to be a lot more in the next podcast. I'll close with my line.
Okay.
Love is a choice. And what do you have to say?
My line is marriage is hard, but it is worth it.
Hey, thanks for checking out MingleMateMarried.com.
Yeah.
Always adding new stuff there. And please, if you like the podcast, share and like.
Yes.
Whether on YouTube or Apple, iTunes, or whatever you listen to. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Until next time, keep loving your partner, spouse, wife, husband, all that.
It's worth it.
Okay.